Hello, welcome again. Yeah, assuming you've seen the, listened to the previous episode. This is episode 2 of my
dose,
numero dose of my quote unquote podcast. I say quote unquote because I'm like 15. Podcast, A Question of Growth. In the last episode, we talked about the topic I'm doing for school. Should children be exposed to large topics sooner or later? And we had an introduction. We talked about the age groups, what a large topic is. It's an adult topic. And what we kind of think counts as an adult topic for different age groups based on, like, research and stuff. If you haven't seen that and you're planning to watch this, I'm like thinking of all these, like, YouTubers. So it's like, go watch my previous video. But go listen to the previous episode if you want more context for that, if you're listening to this. But yeah, today, same day. But right now, we're going to go over the grunt of the work, the grit of the
evidence, the facts.
I'm building it up here, Marge.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
All right, sorry. This is also our audience surrogate.
Marge, hello.
She is here to
the voice of the
she's
people.
The voice of the people. She's here for you guys. She's just going to ask me questions when I'm being confusing. Because I've been told I'm confusing. Yeah. So.
No, you're not confusing. You can't be sorry. Marge, I just realized I was whispering. Oh my God.
Okay.
Let's get on with it.
So the real grunt of the work here, meaning that, yes, we are going to get to the thing that we've been building up to, basically, which is a bit weird considering it's the second episode. But this is, like, the main body of the work, which is these are the arguments for and against the topic at question. So we're going to have three arguments for yes, children should be exposed to large topics sooner. For whatever reason, the three arguments. Insert three arguments. And then three arguments for why they should not be. These arguments are a mix of personal experience, people who just I've talked to about their opinions, some research, and mainly two interviews I've done with two really great people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to butcher the pronunciations. Camilla Gamelgold-Baker and Marta Rodriguez-Karpovich. I talked to both of them, and they're both in, like, the field of, like, psychology and helping and, like,
child psychology.
I'm sorry, I can't give all credentials because I don't, like, I'm not super well versed in that. I hope this isn't, like, a copyright strike or something. But they were both really great, and they're both mothers also, so we talked a lot about these, and I formed these six arguments in total for both sides, and I'm hoping that this is what you will listen to and be like, I think I can form an opinion based off of these. So first up, we've got, an argument for why, sorry, I wrote them down and then I mixed them up, so I'm trying to read now. If I shall, not okay. Right, we have an argument for why children should be exposed to large topics at a younger age.
Mm-hmm.
Argument number one is that if a child is not exposed to large topics early on, they will live in a bubble of what the world really is. Basically, this is talking about how we learn about the world at some point or another, and we learn from what we hear, from what our parents tell us, from what we learn. If we don't know, like, because the world can be a very dark place. If we don't know about the dark sides of that world early on, we're living in a bubble of what exactly it really is. We talked about this, I think, a bit, or we, like, talked about our own experience a bit in the last one, where we, you said that, like, you were in a, March here, said that she was in a, like, a household that was more, I guess, protective more shielding.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I was talking about how I always wonder, like, I think I know more than maybe kids my age. I feel like that kind of helped me, but at the same time, it overwhelmed me. So, something can be said for that. Like, is it,
This argument also kind of talks about how preserving innocence isn't necessarily a good thing.
Yeah.
That there are, you have to be realistic about society.
Exactly. That's, like, a big theme. Mm-hmm. I looked at, which is, like, we like to think of children as, like, being very innocent. They're, like, the the mall of innocence as innocent as a child, because we think that an innocence is like a child's main value, or like main like characteristic of a child. Like if you're a child, you're innocent, and I think people really want to preserve that. It's why they're always like in a sitcom. There's always like the one plot of an episode where like the daughter goes to like her first party, and the parents are like, "No, she's a child. She cannot go to her first party," because it's like there's this big thing about preserving like the childness in a child, and that's true. You should let children be children for as long as they can be, but there's also the case of when do you. If you don't tell them early on, like, things can be bad, or this is how the world is, or this happened in the world, or this happened here, they don't understand the world very well. And that might not be great for them.
I mean, yeah, you've done more research on this, obviously, than I have. But is there a difference between what people would say preserving innocence at, like, in kids that are in the preteen years or younger than preserving innocence in like the teenage years, as in parents who are with that? Cause like what I mean is that in teenagers, it's more portrayed as the parents are being overprotective and it is necessary to preserve the innocence in like younger kids. Do you think there's a difference or it's just all one big thing?
Yeah. Cause I think like going back to my example of like the sitcom, usually like the lesson in the end is for the parents to accept that the child is growing up.
Yeah.
I think that when you're younger, you need your parents more. That's just kind of a fact. Like you depend on them for more and you can't really be on your own as much. So in that case, it's looked as like children are not completely aware of their world. So preserving innocence is also like preserving innocence, but it's also like looking out for them because they don't fully understand everything. When you're in your teen years, you have to still look out for your kids, of course. But I think it's looked at more like they're figuring things out. Like when you're younger, it's also about like you're being told most of what you know, and you're kind of trying to experience things. But when you're like in your teen years, it's a bit more like you have to start figuring things out on your own. Because also, parents can get kind of annoyed at you when you don't want to figure things out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's argument number one. If a child is not exposed to large topics early on, they will live in a bubble. They will not know what the world is as early on as they maybe should, and it will be harder for them to then form an opinion that isn't just fed to them, I guess. Mm-hmm. Next argument, which is an argument against?
Yeah, against.
Yeah. Sorry, I wrote these down and then I mixed up the order I wrote them down in, so I'm really... Okay. Heavy topics can give a child stress and anxiety and a fear of the world they live in. Basically, yeah. A child that is bombarded with a lot of information can, you know, develop a lot of unhealthy habits around that. Because being exposed to things, is a form of trauma in a way. Like, it depends, I guess, on what it is. Like, my Home Alone example, maybe not trauma. Like, it was it was unnerving. But I watched Home Alone and I was like, oh my God, people can bring it to your house. That's scary. It was scary, like, because that was the first instance I ever saw that or heard about that. I wouldn't say it was traumatizing because, like, it doesn't, like, still haunt me today. I wouldn't say. But like how we talked about, like, the first time you learn about rape, for example.
Yeah.
That can be... There are topics that define us much more, I think, as we become adults. Yeah. And those are the topics that have to be approached with more care because we don't always... We carry those a lot more into our future, our adulthood.
And if I'd like to add on to that, how and at what age you are introduced to these topics doesn't just affect how you think, but also, you know, how you act, you know, act on them, if that makes sense. Like, you could develop some kind of, like, physical fear that's expressed physically.
Yeah, because, like, if it's a fear of... Let's take a different example. Let's say you're, like, afraid of being killed on the street, for example. Like, I think... I don't know if that's, like, a common fear, but I feel like some teens, definitely also preteens, had a fear of, like, what if, like, someone's going to try to hurt me on the street. you might, you know, not go outside as much. You might not be outside around your friends, around fresh air. There are a lot of, like, consequences to what we learn and how we then act because of what we know. And, yeah, that is something that can, you know, not affect children very well.
Leave an impression, basically. Yeah.
It's also that there is... Actually, I'm going to pause here. He's going to call this out, so it's fine. Next argument, I think?
Yeah, next one.
Okay. Next argument, which is... is understanding the world's injustices earlier on will make you more inclined to fix them. Basically, this is, we're going 1-4, 1-against, 1-4, 1-against. This is the second argument for why it is good to teach children about large topics, which is that if we know about them from younger on, we have a bigger connection to them. We want to make things right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think, very definitely a very good argument. Because I even talked to... This is one of the things that my interviewees...
Yeah.
Said, yeah. My interviewees told me that understanding the world's injustices earlier on will make you more inclined to fix them. And basically what we're talking about here is that if you learn about things that are wrong in the world earlier on, you have a larger connection to them emotionally. You will fight more to make the world a better place. If you learn when you're like 6, maybe for whatever reason, maybe you have some family in like a country that's at war and you know about that and you have a personal connection to that because it's someone in your family, someone you care about, and they're going through something horrible. That is a lot to take in. Like, you're someone who you care about is in a country that's dangerous, it's at war, you know. For a 6-year-old, that would probably be a lot. But you could argue that because of that, they now want to, when they're older, they're going to want to be like an activist. They're going to want to stop war. They're going to be involved in helping. Learning about things when we're younger can have a very big effect, like we discussed, on how we act mm-hmm. when we're older. And that could be negative in the sense of, like, you don't trust people, you're anxious, you're scared, you don't want to talk to them. Or it could be that you're going to fight for things. You're going to want to make things better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like tackling a different field of psychology, like what defines the good and the bad. Like what mm-hmm. will make you want to channel that into good and what will make you want to channel that into bad. It's about of course, depends on the child, the way they learned, their environment and all those things. But basically, this is like the opposite of the previous argument. You could also want to act for the better. And that is something that definitely matters because, you know, we need to make the world a better place than it is right now.
Yeah.
Always. It can always be better. Let's always make it better. And especially right now, things are weird. It's important to want to fight for the right things. And that a lot of that comes from who we are as children, I think.
And, sorry to bring it back to, like, social media again, but... We talked about briefly in the last episode that how that in social media works negatively in this area, but because there because there is social media, it also kind of connects to what you just said because it also allows like younger kids to, you know, spread awareness or to learn about these topics and therefore want to fight to improve it or share ways to improve it, you know.
Yeah. It's the flip side of the coin, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's our third argument. That's our second argument for why we should be exposing children to large topics. Now we're on to our fourth argument, and now our second argument for against why children should not be exposed to large topics, which is that hearing about too many heavy things early on can desensitize kids to world issues. And this also connects a bit to the last one, because what I was going to say is that I know because, like, as a teen in this generation, it's become kind of, like, cool to not care. It's become trained to, like, oh, I'm a psychopath or I'm a sociopath, I feel nothing. Not sure where it comes
emotionless.
From. But yeah, I don't feel.
Yeah, I don't feel.
I'm so apathetic. It's like a thing now. And I'm not sure if maybe that's like always been a thing. Yeah. It's just because now social media and
which
like
is,
TikTok and like all the emo
things. Which is, by
things.
The way, also a whole other issue on its own.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that. Which is like, there's nothing wrong with like being like, I guess, emo. Or if you're actually like really like hopeless about the world, that's like, of course, horrible. But it's become kind of trendy to just like...
Not care.
To like purposely make yourself like not care. And I think a lot of that does come from how much children hear about how bad the world is. Because at some point, like I remember, like I know in like our class, it's kind of like a running joke. Like we just don't care anymore. We don't care about what's going on anymore. The world is so messed up. Like
what's the point? You know.
And it's kind of a joke, but it's kind of also real because a lot of, it was just kind of scary because we're like 15. Like most people I know are like 15 and we're already like, what's even the point?
Done with the world.
What's the point?
Exactly.
And it's concerning to look at when you
definitely.
When you realize that like we should be wanting to like, we're gonna make things better, we're gonna make things good. But we're all kind of like done for. Not done for, but like we're all kind of already like hopeless and like what's the point? And I think that does come from how much we see, how much the way also we're exposed to the world. Like I don't want us to become a little like too political, but media is very, very curated. Like, they want you to see things a certain way, but that's also usually the only things we do see.
Yeah.
So a lot of the things
there's
we see...
There's a narrative. Yeah,
there's a narrative, and they really want to push it, and it's usually the only narrative you get unless you look for another one. And most kids don't do that. Most kids just kind of hear what they hear, and then that's kind of what they take at face value. And I think that's definitely a problem in the sense that we hear so much that it's like... Oh, another protest. Oh, another, like, tree burned down. Another... And it's really sad to think about, but I think a lot of that is that we see so many things.
Overwhelmed, almost.
We're overwhelmed. Yeah. And that it's like we kind of numb ourselves because it's just so much.
Mm-hmm.
I remember... This is really off topic. I was watching, like, a top 20... I was, like, on, like, a top 10 list binge marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, one of them was, like, top 10 most... Top 10 times South Park tackled real issues. I know, this is really random. I don't watch South Park, but it just kind of came on. And apparently there was an episode about, like, a character who's, like, scared because, like, all the other, like, people in the town are, like, just, like, don't care anymore. Like, they're so desensitized. That's a hard word to say. say it three times fast. That when bad things happen, even around them, they just don't even care anymore. And that she's, like, the only one who cares and, like, eventually drives her crazy. And I was kind of thinking about, like, yeah, like, we... I think as a society, have just kind of learned to not care because it's easier to just, like, numb it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, in a way, easier, but it's also worse because we're going to end up with a bunch of people on this earth who don't want to care about each other, who don't want to make things better. There's no goal anymore.
Yeah.
And that's definitely not good. And that's definitely a bad way to go.
Yeah, I also have noticed that there are more and more characters like that in TV shows and movies, especially for, you know, younger kids, where there's, like, that character trope of the character who doesn't care or who's just kind of, like, purposely wants to be outside of everything.
And they're always,
happening.
Like, portrayed as, like, the cool ones.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is a bad thing, per se, because, like, I like those characters, too. I don't think it's a bad thing in having that, but... It shows you that it really has become a product of our time that it's, it's so cool not to care. And it's not.
And it's kind of dangerous how that's not discussed or debated or, like, even questioned.
Until now.
Trendsetting. Woo! High five.
we're kidding. We're not, like... Yeah. Okay. Next argument. The last argument. Wow, that went by quickly. The last argument for why children should be exposed to large topics... Last one, third and last one, for four, is the younger children are more likely to accept different people and versions of events. Basically, this is about how, I think, everyone's met, like, a kid, or like, we're kids still, I would say, because we're under 18, but kids younger than them, like, we've all met, like, a four-year-old or five-year-old. Just kind of running around. They can be kind of mean in a sense. Like, they can be kind of, like, vicious. Like, they think, oh, I'm so funny. But generally, they are innocent. Like, that's kind of their thing. Like, it's because they don't know that much about the world. Like, the bad things.
Mm-hmm.
Generally. Of course, generally. Not, like, everyone, sadly. But But, you know, they tend to be more empathetic because of that. Like, adding on to the previous argument, they don't know all that stuff yet. They aren't desensitized. They still care. And if you expose certain topics to them when they're younger, they're going to care more. This is kind of an extension of the previous argument we had, 4-4. But this one relates, this is closer to different types of people and different types of perspectives. Like, if you teach children about racism, then, you know, I can't, from personal experience, my parents never talked to me about race. They were never like, oh, there's black and white and there's racism in the world. Like, I was never told that racism was a thing. I was even told race was a thing.
Yeah.
Looking back on, I'm like, was I kind of like not the smartest? Because like I wasn't even like, oh, racism thing. We look different. We're probably from different countries. Maybe I wasn't that like smart. But I remember I like didn't have any, and that's like build myself up or anything. But I had like no prejudice whatsoever to people who look different than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been going to international schools and kindergartens for like, I think for most of my life. I went to a kindergarten, just like a regular one, and then it was all international from then on. It was always international environment, so I was meeting different people, and I actually never questioned why they look different from me. And sometimes I wonder if my parents had told me racism is a thing, like people are prejudiced against race, maybe I would be there like, I wonder why, and then maybe I would be acting differently. But
like unintentionally being
like unintentionally,
stereotyping, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Like not even not being racist. Yeah, this is kind of a different conversation, but you know, still being like, oh, I want to prove how not racist I am because I know that I exist. Mm-hmm. You know, like it kind of divulging. But my point is that looking at like that, I had like no introduction whatsoever, and I think that turned out best for me because I had like no prejudice whatsoever. And that's kind of the thing with kids, like in my case, no one told me and it worked out well. But some kids, because I also wasn't like around racist people, some kids, you know, maybe have racist parents or just have more access to the news where they hear about racism, maybe they'll rub off on them more. If you tell kids who tend to be more empathic, more open-minded, they just kind of take things, if you tell them racism exists, sadly, it's where you have like a negative prejudice towards someone because of their race, and sadly it exists, but it's wrong, then they are more likely to take them, be like, yeah, that is wrong. Because also kids, like, I think for kids, like, they realize how stupid some of these things are. They're like, why would that matter? And
I mean, yeah, just in kind of sidetracking, but not really, like, just generally when looking at this topic, it's important to question, too, whether some of these topics need to be addressed. Or, like, I mean, if I use your example, like, it is important, but does importance necessarily mean it has to be discussed, or does that like inflict some other kind of bias or like some kind of underlying, does that promote some kind of underlying bad idea that you might,
I think,
you know what I mean?
I think we're kind of, we're not going to talk about this too much because it's like divulging like sociology and stuff, but I feel like you could not tell them and it could turn out really well because then they have like no idea whatsoever that we're different.
Exactly.
But you could also not tell them, and then they could learn from the wrong people. That's the thing. It also depends on people you're around. Like, they could learn from the wrong people. But generally, we kind of went on topic here. The argument is that, you know, if you teach children racism is a thing, but it's wrong. Sexism is a thing, but it's wrong. Homophobia is a thing, but it's wrong. You know, if you tell them, they know from earlier on, and they will likely adopt that attitude. Because like, with things we learn as a child tend to stick with us much more. So if like a kid is like has like racist parents, for example, and like it like really they see it and they're like, oh, okay, that's how I should act, they're more likely to probably be like that than to snap out of it. Like if that's how they acted as a kid, that's probably what they're going to continue, at least for a while. A lot of these, I think all of these are very much a matter of circumstance, this one the most, but the argument is that, you know, you can the thing, if you tell children like the right things, you teach them the right lessons, they will most likely adopt those as opposed to something negative. And that's a good side of telling kids about large topics, because then they understand them better, and they can actually see them, and they're more accepting of different ideas and people, and then it's easier for them to be more inclusive and like multicultural, to accept different things, because that's how they were raised. Mm-hmm. Also, Marge was just looking at her microphone really weirdly.
Yeah.
Is everything okay?
No, it's like, I was just like, I just realized that there's a microphone in front of me and my brain went a little crazy.
Okay.
Sorry.
And now our last argument, out of all six, that one by kind of quickly, which is our last argument for against why children should not be exposed to large topics, is large topics can keep children mentally confined to the age they were when exposed to the said trauma. It can also make them seek out unhealthy behavior. So the idea is that, I'm not sure if this is like a, I think it's like an actual thing in psychology, but there is an idea that if you experience some like very serious trauma, you are kind of mentally confined to that age that mm-hmm. you were when you experienced it. Because like,
as like a coping mechanism.
Kind of. But it's like, okay, if you've seen Winter Soldier, then it's like, yeah. they like kind of, they, spoilers for Winter Soldier, I guess, because I don't know. Spoilers for the Marvel
movie, by
the Marvel Cinematic Universe spoilers, I'm sorry. Which is like, you know, like when they had the Winter Soldier, they kind of like yeah. tortured him until his personality literally split apart.
Mm-hmm.
And like, cause and then they kind of program that personality how they want. It's kind of like that. Like, a trauma is a way to kind of escape. You're making another personality as the kid you were. Like, it just stops you right there. And this isn't like you're going to be, like, acting like a five-year-old, but you're going to maybe, like, act like a five-year-old, and since you're going to, like, throw tantrums, or you're going to want things your way all the time, you're kind of stuck in a certain mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't healthy in any sense, but in this case, if you are exposed to something really, really heavy, like we said earlier, it can lead to anxiety and stress, and that can also trap you in that, and it can trap you in that age, it can trap you in that anxiety and that stress. And that's not good. That's not a great Mm-mm. place to be at. And that's kind of building on to the last one a bit. And it also leads into a kind of subcategory of this one, which is that, you know, if you are around abusive or neglectful parents, like, you know, people say that you're more likely to at one point in your life than, like, have an abusive or neglectful relationship, because to you, that's all you know.
Yeah.
If you have that same thing with, like, what you're spoken to, or how you're spoken to, it's kind of the same thing. If your parents were very neglectful in how they told you about certain things, or when they told you about certain things, like, they kind of, in a way, it is a form of emotional abuse to, like, really, really, like, just rain down a bunch of things on kids that they're not ready for, and then not help them. I think that probably counts as a form of emotional abuse, and that's something that they will probably find a way to seek out when they are older. Like, they're gonna find a way to, and that's a consequence of, like, how that can affect you and how you function, because mm-hmm. of how it all just kind of came raining down on you. And in the same way, it's yeah. also now, like, with people, you'll also look at the world that way. You'll be like, the world is a horrible place, so my parents told me, and you're going to seek out not only, like, people who treat you that way, but the world that treats you yeah. the way you were told it is mm-hmm. meant to be treat you.
Maybe you're also, like, looking for a way to gain back the control over yourself. You know what I mean?
I mean, maybe. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yes. Like, in a sense, like, you're trying to, like, prove it right.
Yeah.
And try to be like, I'm not wrong. The world is horrible. And you're actively mm-hmm. seeking it out that way. And that's not good. If every single human being was like that, we would all be, we all not really know how to grow mm-hmm. past that age that we were, and we would not know how to move past an image where the world is bleak and horrible.
Yeah.
Because you need a certain amount of, like, perfect middle ground where you have a realism, where you can be like, the world is a messy place and bad things happen, but it's also a beautiful place where good things happen, and you yeah. need to be able to find the balance, because you need to be realistic. I think you can't you can't be super optimistic and super cynical mm-hmm. when it comes to the entire world, you yeah. know? You have to be a realist. You have to be in the middle where you're like, I'm not telling you, you have to yeah. be, but like, I think like that probably the way yeah. to go for like humanity is that if you're a realist, you can see the world for what it is, which is sometimes bad, sometimes good, and you need to see the good in order to fight the bad. Yeah. That got a little like Star Wars yeah. monologue, but like, yeah. And
I think that this is my personal opinion, that the ideal way to look at life is to be optimistic with a grain of salt, you know?
Yeah. And so everyone has yeah, their own way of looking at exactly. it, and that's perfectly fine. But I think we can probably agree that to be cynical is not great, because it is definitely restricting also yeah. to what you are willing to believe and accept about the world. Of course, if you're a cynic, I get it, because I'm very cynical. I'm a very cynical person. I've been trying to kind of be a little more like, maybe things are good. So I get that, but it really does depend. And yeah, those were our six arguments. Just to quickly recap, our arguments four are that a child exposed to large topics will want to fight for the right things more. They will want to fight the injustices that they learned about, because mm-hmm. it will stick with them more. They will be more open-minded to different people and different ideas. Yeah. They will want to fight for a better place, a better world. And that's that. Then on the other hand, the three arguments against are that large topics can really traumatize a child. It can make them very anxious. It can make them stressed. It mm-hmm. can give them issues. It can make them afraid of the world. And they will kind of, maybe not likely, but they will probably start seeking that out too, because yeah. they want, partially because that's what they think the world is, and probably because they want a validation of that that's what they actually see in the world.
That their whole life is not a lie.
Yeah, basically. Like this is yeah. what I learned, and this is what it has to be. Mm-hmm. Because that's, if we're taught something very young, we're going to probably believe that. And that's just normal human behavior. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've noticed actually the arguments for are more global value, and the arguments mm-hmm. against are more personal value. So you could say they coexist. Maybe the best people have the most damage. You know, you could say that. Because all our arguments for are like saying, if you know more, you'll do more, you'll help. But it is kind of ignoring that maybe those kids are actually dealing with a lot.
Yeah. That you have to sacrifice yourself yeah. almost.
It's a we're getting into a movie analysis. Like, sacrifice yourself for the better good. But on the other hand, like, I think it also depends like what you do with that. Like, let's say we have two kids. One is exemplifying all the arguments for, and one's exemplifying all the arguments against. Let's say both of those kids learned about a bunch of really big topics when they were really young, and it was not great for them, and they were both really traumatized. The four arguments are the alternate version where they channel all of that into good.
Yeah, which is a choice, though.
Yeah.
Too, so.
Exactly. And they channel all of that into making the world better. And the other side is the people who didn't do that or couldn't do that or mm-hmm. didn't think to do that. And, you know, it's interesting to think about, like, how much do we sacrifice of ourselves for other people? Like, how much do we put ourselves in harm's way to make other people happy and make things better? And that's a bit divulging, yeah. but I like to kind of, my mind tends to wander, and I kind of, when it does, I like to kind of present these ideas just to be like, this is not what we're talking about, but, you know, it's interesting to think about, mm-hmm. so please think about that if you want to.
Yeah, because this topic does lead to other things you have to kind of ask yourself and question.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And of course, yeah. I would love to do that, but because, you know, I do need to be a little concise.
Precise, exactly.
It is a school project, yeah, sadly. Yeah. Well, sadly. Sadly, because, like, I can't go into super detail.
Every single branch.
Yeah. And that's why I like to stick to the format I've made, but also occasionally be like, you know, think about this, think about that, because there's a lot to think about, and I know I think about it, like, in my free time, I'm like, I wonder about this. And I would like to encourage anyone who listens to this, if you're not already, to think about, you know, things like that. I know, I feel like I sound kind of, like, condescending, because I'm, like, 15, and I'm telling, like, think about it, but, like, I just mean, like, some people think about things that you don't, or... Yeah. Or you remember an idea you had once. And it's just, like, it's interesting to, like, exchange ideas. So if I said something that, like, you know...
Yeah, but... And
you haven't thought of, then go ahead, think about it. That got wrong.
We're also in, like, a different generation than maybe some of the people listening to this. So, I mean, we have different, we grew up differently and have different ways of looking at society as society's changed. And we have different tools to look at society, like social media, for example, which has definitely impacted how people think progressively, you know?
Yeah. And, yeah, these are, I think these are all, I mean, I kind of made them, I have to say this, but I think that these are all, like, pretty good arguments, like, pretty valid arguments for some good and some bad. These kind of show what I thought about a lot when I came up with this, which was, like, I wonder if I am smarter than I would have been if I didn't know, or if I hurt more than if I didn't know. I wonder if I am, I wonder if I want to make things better, or if I'm desensitized. Like, it's, I think a lot of these represent extremes, and not people even go those extremes, sometimes you're just in the middle, but a lot of people also do go to extremes, and we need to, I think about that, and think, how can we combine a balance of both to just make sure that, like, the next generation, our kids, the people who exist now, are dealing with things in the best way. Like, they're not, like, they want to make the world better, but they don't want to,
but we sacrifice themselves for it.
And, like, I mean, keep in mind, if you do not want to make the world better, I can't make you. I mean, you do. But, you know, ideally, we want people to want to care about each other and about the world we live in. Mm. And we're hoping that, you know, there's a good balance of that, right?
Yeah, definitely. And hope that the trend of being, what, numb to society?
Yeah.
Maybe, hopefully, changes.
Yeah. Hopefully. But yeah, I hope this was clear enough. I hope that this gave you something to think about. And thank you for listening this far.
And again, thank you for having me again.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you. I don't know what to say. Thank you and you're welcome. And thank you everyone who listened, if you got this far and bearing with us. Thank you very much. And please keep listening because we have more to talk about.
And more episodes coming.
More. Stay tuned. So thank you.
Stay tuned.
And see you later. And we are out.